Welcome to Ujiria, broadcasting live from Business Radio X Studios. Ujiria is a Greek word meaning health of body and mind in aging individuals. Ujiria Radio is a weekly show celebrating the heroes that contribute to the Ujiria of our elderly and disabled population. Now joining us in the studio are your hosts, Sam Grass and Brad Culp.
Good morning. It's February 22nd. It is Ash Wednesday. It is Washington's birthday, and we don't have Sam in the studio here. He's off playing hooky yet again. But we do have Kevin in Dallas, and we also have a guest producer, and Alan Dubrinsky is his name. We've actually had Alan's wife on the show before, right?
Yep, you did that right. You pronounced it well.
I was reaching, but it came to me before I got to that part in the sentence, so I'm feeling good about that. It's going to be a good day.
Thank you.
How you doing, Kevin?
Fantastic. How are you?
Well, other than the fact that it was supposed to be in the 70s today and it's not, I'm doing great.
All right. Well, it's heading your way. It's not here today, so you should have some beautiful weather.
Well, good. We always appreciate it when you send your nice weather along. Well, we're going to just dive right in this morning, and I'm going to turn it over to you, Kevin, with your guest there in Dallas.
Thank you. I have Don Johnson. He is the spiritual care coordinator for Brentwood Hospice. And, Don, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. I appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule to come and chat with us today. Don, let's start off by having you tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, and how you came to be where you are now.
Well, let's say that it's an eclectic path. I started as a Roman Catholic studying for the priesthood, ended up becoming a United Methodist pastor instead, and recently have switched over to the Anglican Church, maybe coming back a little bit more to the Catholic roots, but went to Perkins for a course of study program for the Methodist, and now I'm working through the Anglican process. I've been a hospice chaplain almost 7 years. As a Methodist, I pastored 5 churches. It was a wonderful experience. I love pastoral ministry, but in my heart, I always felt that there was a more beneficial place for me to be, and I really thought that hospice was the place to do that. I will tell you that many of us who come into hospice do not come in because it's a profession. We come in because it's a calling, because what we're doing essentially is taking care of folks at their most intimate point of life. You know, they're classified as being terminal with less than 6 months to live in most cases. And in turn, we as a hospice are providing all facets of support to them, not only through nursing and through home health aides, but we have medical social workers and chaplains available, and also volunteer coordinators to assist the family so that as they and the patient move into this final transition for them, that they have support and that they have comfort.
So from a spiritual care standpoint, what does that care look like?
Well, spiritual care coordinator is exactly what that is. A hospice chaplain is really sort of multifaceted because, first of all, he has the responsibility of taking care of the day-to-day needs of not only the patient but also the family. I will tell you that social workers and hospice chaplains, rather, are two of the professions in hospice that are voluntary. Families don't have to have us, you know, but as we develop relationships with them, usually early on, there's always a need somewhere in there where there's spiritual support or support from the social worker to be able to help them with their needs. My role essentially is to find out what their faith base is, and to either contact their pastor, if they have one, or their denomination, and visit with the pastors there, and to provide support to them as a liaison between the hospice, the spiritual care coordinator, and then also the pastor of that denomination.
Wow. So it sounds like they keep you pretty busy between the two
Well, in smaller hospices, we also have the secondary role of being the bereavement coordinator.
Wow.
And so what happens after the patient passes, Medicare requires that we have a relationship with them for 13 months if they choose to, because, again, it's voluntary. So there may be a time where we're actually having 80 to 90 families that we're visiting with on a monthly basis, either providing information for them or doing one-on-one bereavement counseling. So that's just part of the pastoral component that we have that we provide for every family on hospice.
Would you say that the majority of patients on hospice do take advantage of the pastoral care?
I would say that probably 85% or 90%. I think it depends on a couple of factors. First of all, what type of relationship they have with their church, what type of relationship that they have with their pastor. Many times, if that's a strong component for them, then they will rarely involve us other than just to do some type of coordination from one point to another. There are other times, though, that we essentially become their pastor, either because they haven't been involved with the church for so many years or have never been involved with the church but now would like to have some spiritual support. Or sometimes, unfortunately, they kind of get thrown by the wayside, and we pick up those pieces for them, not only for the patient but also for the family.
Yeah, we were talking a little bit before. So basically from any... No matter what religious background you may be from, there are services available that you can coordinate.
Oh, absolutely. You know, you and I were talking, in the hospice that I presently serve, we don't necessarily have a lot of Jewish patients, but in the one that I served prior to this one, we had a lot of Jewish patients. And so it's important for us to be able to know who the nearest rabbis are, to find out whether they're Orthodox or Reform. The different aspects of what's going on with them is important so that we can provide the right type of path for them.
Right, right. And then also, you obviously mentioned it's important to be well-versed in some of the customs and expectations that they have.
Well, nobody ever wants to be offended when you walk into their church or walk into their synagogue. I think it's important, and that's one of the things that chaplaincy, at least in hospice, does well. For the most part, I think that most of us are very well versed in all of the different aspects denominationally. We do try to provide either a chaplain or a nurse, sometimes the social worker, even the volunteer coordinator. When someone passes, we do try to have someone at the funeral to represent us because we want to be there with them. And first of all, appreciate the fact that they have allowed us to be a part of their life. And second of all, just it's the right thing to do to support them when they have lost their family member. But we need to know how to walk in that door. You know, dress is important. Language is important. Presence is important. So there's a lot of training that goes into that to make sure that we're prepared to be able to do that. And if we don't know, we usually try to figure it out before we get there.
Yeah, so going from... being a pastor of churches into hospice, what kind of training is involved with that transition from being a pastor of a congregation to what you do now?
Well, most pastors go to seminary. You know, they end up with a master's in divinity. Some of them will get their doctorate in divinity. In our realm, we use a program called clinical pastoral education. And it's twofold. First of all, there's clinical pastoral education in the hospital setting. Many times someone will receive a stipend. They come onto that program for 12 months. They go through 4 units of CPE, which is what it's called, and then they are certified to be able to work in crisis ministry in the hospitals. For many years in the Dallas area, there used to be a program through another hospice for hospice chaplains to receive CPE designed specifically around hospice. Unfortunately, I haven't heard if that program is still alive. I wish that it was because it would be very beneficial. We do that. There are also professional organizations. There's board-certified chaplains now, which is something that's coming out that's relatively new that we all need to strive to be certified in because they give us the language and the education to be able to handle the families as we're dealing with their issues.
Wow. That's interesting. I did not know that there was you've found what you do now extremely rewarding.
Well, I will tell you that in 15 years of ministry, it is my favorite type of ministry. My wife and I have been involved with the homeless church in South Dallas for almost 10 years, and so we deal with the folks on the street, you know, male and female prostitutes, folks with all different types of health issues, not only physically but mentally. That's a challenging ministry because, unfortunately, there are days that you don't see much reward for them for their efforts. In hospice, it's a little bit different because if everything goes the way that it's supposed to, and in my impression, it really should be seamless. So if the process for them in their life and their transition into death is seamless, then the reward comes that we have done our job well. And that's important to me. You know, I think that as a team, especially with Brentwood Hospice, I will tell you that this is the first group that I have worked with that we are so cohesive that we can almost finish each other's sentences because we work as a team so closely together. I mean, we have a program in hospice called Interdisciplinary Teams where we meet with the doctor and the nurses, social worker, chaplains. We'll meet every week to talk specifically about the patients and how we can help them. And that's really a great opportunity for us to hear from everybody else on the team so that, again, it gives us the ability to be cohesive and also to march forward with that family on a common front so that we know that we're doing the right things for them.
Yeah, I'm going to put you on the spot here. Apologize for doing this, but I'm just wondering, do you have a specific story of a family that you've helped that you really found the most rewarding or a good example of what your services can really help the family deal with?
Well, you and I were talking about some of those beforehand, and I'll reshare the same story. I had a patient many years ago that was on hospice. She died. She was gracious enough to send her body to a body donation program. Her ashes came back. We couldn't find anybody in the family, so her ashes stayed in my office for 2 years. And then through some mutual friends in a different church, we found out that this was where she had gone to church, and her family was in Louisiana. So they contacted the family. The family contacted me. I was able to provide those ashes back to the family. But the additional part of that was is that the mother had also been on the same service. And she had been cremated by another service, and in turn, we were able to get both of them together and send them to Louisiana so that the daughter and the wife could be buried next to husband and father. So, yeah, there's some interesting things that happen, but the rewarding part really is to make sure that we have met the needs of the families in whatever way that we can.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. If you had a piece of advice that you would like to share with either seniors, their families, or people that are helping them, what would you tell them?
Well, first of all, what I would say is that if you have a family member who is struggling, especially with end-of-life issues, listen to their needs. Take care of them emotionally. Help them spiritually. The other thing is that many times when we first come in with families, there's not a lot of pre-planning. You know, and in today's society, we really need to pre-plan. What I would suggest is that if this patient's been sick for a long time, make sure that there's a medical directive, an advanced directive, that the doctor knows what's supposed to happen with this patient. Second is that in the state of Texas, we have what are called out-of-hospital do-not-resuscitate programs, and we would like for them to be able to evaluate that to see that if that's appropriate for them. So to have that in place, second of all, have a medical power of attorney or a durable power of attorney. Start looking at funeral arrangements. Now, I know that all of these things are emotional, but it's been my experience that if they're prepared for up front, it's less troubling to the family beforehand than after the patient dies.
Absolutely. All of those things are excellent. I echo your thoughts on especially the medical power of attorney, advanced directives, the resuscitate orders. Those are all extremely important. It's best to get those handled earlier rather than later.
Absolutely.
If our listeners would like to contact you, what would the best way for them to do that be?
Well, there's two ways. You can contact us on our website, which is brentwoodhospice.com, www.brentwoodhospice.com, or you can actually call us directly, and our office number is 877-388-2304, and I'll give that to you one more time because I've talked kind of fast. 877 388-2304. And if you have questions or if you just need information, please give us a call. We'll be happy to help.
Excellent. Don, I really appreciate you taking the time this morning.
Kevin, thank you. I appreciate the time.
All right. And with that, we'll send it back to Brad in Atlanta.
All right. Thank you very much, Kevin. And thank you, Don, for taking the time to join us this morning. Back here in Atlanta in the studio, we have with us today Vika Brown. Vika is the Director of Public Relations for Woodstock Nursing and Rehabilitation. Good morning, Vika.
Good morning. Great to be here.
Well, we appreciate you taking the time to be here. And you and I sat in the lobby together this morning and didn't know each other was sitting there, did we?
That's great.
So glad we hooked up and we got you in here. So let me just start by asking you a little bit about your background. Where are you from? Where'd you grow up? Where'd you go to school? And how did you end up where you are today?
Well, starting out, I'm born and raised out of Jacksonville, Florida. I've always known that I wanted to be in the medical field. Started out in high school, going to the hospitals for half a day. Then started at Florida Junior College, starting as far as my nursing career. Found that, of course, hated school, but moving right along, I moved to Georgia in 1998. My mom has always been in the medical field. She retired in the medical field, in the senior field, as far as working with the seniors of Florida. And she worked for the senior center in Jacksonville, Florida, retired from that. And once I came to Georgia, applied at one of the local skilled nursing facilities, worked there starting in 1998, which started my long-term care career. The actual company that I started working with was purchased by Cypress Healthcare Group, which is the group that manages Woodstock, along with 10 other facilities here in the metro Atlanta area. The skilled nursing facilities, I started out with the love of that, found my niche in the marketing field, asked to be a part of the corporate marketing team, which went forth from me being an admissions director. After a couple of years of that, moving to be a part of the corporate marketing team, and here I am, exclusively marketing for Woodstock Nursing and Rehab and enjoying it all along.
So 14 years you've been with them.
I didn't 98? Say a number. I didn't say a number.
but it's really interesting to me because the medical field and you know, in our senior services field in particular, often seems like a bit of a revolving door. You know, we follow people from one company to the next. You know, I know in our business, and you know, it's relationship oriented, and we follow the person. And you know, over the course of the last, you know, I've been with Griswold Special Care for 9 years now. We bought it from the original owner, and over the course of 9 years, we followed some people 3, 4, 5 places. And here you've spent the last 14 years in one place. And so I'm curious, you know, what is it that keeps you with this organization? Obviously, you know, it must be a great place to be.
It is a great place to be. In honesty, I've had 2 intermissions since I've been with this company. And actually, this is my 3rd go around with the same company. And my VP made the statement, now that you've checked out some of the other sides, and I actually, out of 2 of those times that I did leave, I did a reverse of what my position consists of. So I've worked on the other side of the fence as well. Like you say, establishing and finding my niche in this setting has made me to understand and find my niche in life, which was developing relationships, developing relationships, which I think has gotten me as far as I am. Of course, I have to say, along with the help of God, because I was grandparented into this position because of the fact that I am not a nurse, but majority of my comrades are. And I don't let that stop me. I have established relationships and continue to establish relationships, and not really even considering this as a marketing position, but considering this as a help to families that come to this point in their life, and understanding that there is no little black book that tells them or tells anyone, what do I do now, now that I'm at this point. And working with this, working in this particular industry has been a great one to be able to, on a day-to-day basis, have a sit-down with families who have come to the point in their life where, you know, they're trying to keep the promise to mom or dad.
To take care of them.
To take care of them, and that they would not be placed in this particular type of setting. But being able to sit down with them and to have them to understand, after having conversation with them, that yes, we are at this point, and yes, I know what was promised, but this is where we are, and this is what we need to do. And walking them step by step and saying, okay, one step at a time, not to overwhelm you, that, you know, mom or dad is in the hospital now, and at this time, I'm here from the Woodstock Nursing and Rehab to explain to you is this is what we have to offer you at this time.
Let me, before we dive into Woodstock Nursing and Rehab, let me go back 1 minute and ask you about how you got involved in the first place. It actually sounds like when you were in high school you did some volunteer work, or drew you into it?
My mother worked, like I said, as a manager for one of the Jacksonville community centers. And because I was her daughter, I had to spend a lot of time with the seniors, going on the field trips, being involved during the week as well as on the weekends with and after hours with activities that was, you know, that she was having for them. It was a big part of our life. And not really knowing that this was going to be my destiny, it was set there. And the crazy part of it all, my daughter actually works in a skilled nursing facility here in the Metro Atlanta area as well, starting out in the same situation, working in the admissions office.
Interesting. It seems like it's such a common theme, you know, with the guests that we have on the show, that often their initial exposure is, you know, through a personal experience with a parent or a grandparent or some kind of voluntary or volunteer involvement in some kind of either a hospital or a nursing facility. So it's really interesting to listen to the stories, because you really, it's almost like Don was saying, you get called into these things. It's maybe not even a conscious choice, but you just know that this is where you're supposed to be. And it's a great story, because I think personally you have to be called into this to be able to through an experience with seniors or disabled adults, you know, that are going through some very difficult times.
That's correct.
And sometimes they don't behave very, very nicely, and you know, and that's because they don't feel good. So it's truly a calling. So let's jump back forward then, and tell us a little bit about the company you work for, about Cypress, and about Woodstock Nursing and Rehabilitation.
Cypress Health Management Group is a corporation which manages 10 facilities here in the Metro Atlanta area. And again, I say I have been chosen to market exclusively for Woodstock Nursing and Rehab. It's a 24-hour skilled nursing and rehabilitation center. We offer orthopedic rehabilitation for patients that have they're at the point of post-injury, post-surgery type situations. We offer IV therapy services, pain management. We have a wound care team that is led by a certified wound care nurse. We also offer, as far as physical therapy, occupational speech therapy services, restorative services and dining, along with nutritional counseling and a full calendar of social activities and entertainment. As far as where we're located, we're centered downtown Woodstock, which I don't know if you've been downtown Woodstock lately, but it is a sight to behold. The little shops that are opening up downtown, we are now sitting right next to the city of Woodstock Park. There was a police station that was right in between us in the park, and gladly I am now to announce that when I'm telling people how to get there and telling them we're right next door to the city of Woodstock Park, and that's a better scene than saying
that.
Next
to the police station.
We're right next door to the police station. But for the most part, Barbara Baxter is our administrator there, and along with the director of nursing, which is Bonnie McKay, and Brandy Brewster is the admissions coordinator there. I call, which they'll probably kill me. I call them the three B's that help me stay in balance, because they're dealing with me on a daily basis. So, you know, I have to give the credit to them. Why I am able to be who I am every day, because they do keep me in balance.
Funny. All B's, and Barbara is a double B, right?
And Brandy.
Funny.
Brandy Brewster is a double B too, so I'm in good shape.
Yeah. Except and you've got a B in your name too. So there you go. I guess that's part of the requirement for working there.
Exactly.
So what's the capacity of the facility, and what percentage of your business is kind of extended stay versus rehab?
Well, we do have short term care, which mostly consists of patients that are coming directly from the hospital who needs the skilled nursing subacute type care. Those patients are coming in, I would say probably about 30% of our building is that, where the patients are coming in, getting the services ordered by their physician, and returning back out into the community, whether it be the assisted living facilities in the neighborhood or returning to their home address. As well as there are some that come and they also need long-term care placement within the facility, and we are available for that as well. We have 152 beds capacity to be able to admit to, and as far as their length of stay is totally according to what the individualized needs. We do have a personalized care plan for every patient that comes to our facility. It's not a generic book that says, okay, you're in here for a hip fracture, this is how long you're going to be here, and you return home. It doesn't work that way. Everybody comes in, we meet together with them or their family and or their family within 72 hours. We call it a circle of care. They let us know where they need to be in order to return home safely. And then at that time, we're able to, after have already evaluated that patient, be able to set goals, hence, you know, thus far.
Great. And I assume that, I shouldn't assume, your facility handles Medicare, Medicaid, and private pay? Or?
That is exactly right. We do file Medicare. We do file with some of the managed care plans. We're not within network of the HMO plans, but there are some managed care plans that we do file with within their, because of the fact that they do use in and out of network. Corporations.
And let me go back to a question I asked you earlier. So you've come back now to the Cypress organization twice. What brings you back? What was it that attracted you back to in this case Woodstock Nursing and Rehab as opposed to any other facility?
As far as we have the saying at Woodstock that we're not fancy, but we're family. Mm. And the atmosphere there, you know, not just looking at it as a day-to-day revolving door of families and patients that are coming through our facility, but actually being able to have families come in, and not only have families come in, but they want other they refer us to other members of their families to come in. And we have so many families that have come in that we already know from the community, because either they've been a part of the church in the community or a part of some type of group that has been either coming in to volunteer, or they've had a relative that has been with us already before, so they've already been coming into the building already.
Right. So it's really focused on being a community-type environment and a small community atmosphere.
That's correct, because Woodstock is a pretty small community, and is a situation where most folks, if they don't know you, they know some of your family.
Right, right. Funny. You, over the course of 14 years, I'm sure you have lots of stories that you could tell, but is there one in particular that stands out that kind of touched your heart?
I have a ton of stories, but my most recent experience was we had a young lady that was at home. Her mom was actually the caregiver, her mom and her sister. Mom ended up going into the hospital, and I went to see the mom. While I was there seeing the mom, I met her sister, who told me, okay, I understand we're taking care of mom right now, but I also have a sister at home that mom has been taking care of, and she's young, and she needs that type of setting as well. So I was able to work it out. Well, we were, as a group at Woodstock, we were able to work out mom being admitted, and she came in to receive rehab. And after we got everything situated with her, we was able to work on getting the daughter. Mm-hmm. And bringing that daughter in to tour, and she came in, and I was able to sit down and meet with her and talk with her. It just was such it just made my job all the worth, all the problems or issues that I've ever had, it made just that all go away for a moment to be able to help a family.
Right.
You know, not only just helping the mother needing to come in, and she needed long-term care as well.
Yeah.
But to be able to bring the daughter into the same facility. And on top of all that, the sister who had been taking care of, the sister and her husband that's been for years taking care of her and her mom, actually on last Thursday or Friday, I got a chance to be in the building and see her and her husband and see how well they're doing as well now that they've gotten, you know, the other part of the family taken care of.
So you can kind of follow their progress over the course of months or years even.
Exactly.
That's terrific. I guess if a family is starting to deal with, kind of chronic conditions with a loved one, and they're afraid that they're not going to be able to keep this person at home much longer, what bit of advice might you give to that family as they consider their options for long-term care?
Their first option is all mine. Geographically, starting out in the community to go to come into our, being as far as being in the community of Woodstock, being able to come to the facility and sit down and talk with us and let us know what the situation is up front. And then from that, we are able to help get the ball rolling as far as the next step, going to your primary physician, getting the most updated clinical information for that patient and getting the proper forms filled out that's required by the state of Georgia and getting all that paperwork in, as well as pre-screening with the business office manager to make sure as far as your finances or whatever type of benefits that you have, whatever resources you have, and letting her advise and give information as far as what resources, you know, that we can accept as payment from that patient, from that family.
Right.
It's not a complicated process. It's just step one, step two, step three,
right,
type thing, and getting everything in place. And so, once that's done, according to availability, we go from there.
So it sounds like you try to make the process easy and painless for the family. You try to help walk them through it. And
that's exactly correct. I mean, if it's a situation where it's private pay, what they need to, as far as making sure what's taken care of before you place her in the facility, as far as with their personal finances, or if it's a situation where they're eligible for Medicaid, if they're eligible for Medicaid, going through that, getting the information required by the business office in order to start the process to apply. Because as far as Georgia Medicaid, nursing facility Medicaid, you have to be in the facility before you can actually apply for it. Mm. But what we try to do is make sure all that information is gathered and in place and ready for the package to be sent as soon as that patient is admitted to the facility. But, of course, by all means, going through the clinical information and making sure that that patient is clinically accepted to the facility.
Right. Excellent. And for those that would like to have more information, how can they contact you or get more information about your facility?
First off, I would like to give the address. Our address is 105 Arnold Mill Road, Woodstock, Georgia, and the zip code is 30188. The main number to the facility is 770-926-0016. And as far as having the website, the cypresshealthcaregroup.com.
Okay. And, okay, you did give a phone
number. And it's www.cypresshealthgroup.com. And if you click on Find Facilities and click on Woodstock, it'll take you to the webpage.
Very good. Vika, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us this morning. And
you're so welcome. Glad to be here.
Great information. And, again, we also want to thank Kevin and Don for being with us in Dallas this morning. As usual, we thank our listeners. And if you would like to listen to a rebroadcast of this show, you can do so at www.ugeria.com. radio.com. We'll be back again next week with another great show. And in the meantime, we close, as we always do, by saying, if the youth of this nation are its greatest national resource, then it stands to reason that the seniors of this nation are its greatest national treasure. Thank you and God bless.
Ugeria Radio is sponsored by Griswold Special Care and broadcast live from the Business Radio X studios.